Yes Music Podcast, episode 61. The Yes Alphabet, F.
This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 61 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. Although I'm never quite sure of how the time conversion works, around the time I'm recording this episode, Yes Music Podcast listener, Yes Fan, and Aussie prog rock god, Ben Craven, is performing for the first time live with his band, The Section, in Brisbane. If you haven't checked out the latest videos from Ben and also heard his brilliant album Great and Terrible Potions, then consider yourself admonished and get straight over to bencraven.com to see and hear what you've been missing. At AC Gizmo on Twitter got in touch this week with information about what I had called a miniature electric guitar in episode 59. In fact, what Steve Howe plays in Time and a Word on the Keys to Ascension DVD is an electric mandolin. I've always wanted to have a play around on one of these, as the tuning is the same as the violin, so I should be able to know what I'm doing. As at AZ Gizmo points out, however, the feel will be completely different, and I'm not sure I'd be able to attempt the tremolo techniques employed by the proper players, like Steve Howe and at AZ Gizmo himself. So this week I'm returning to the Yes alphabet, and we've reached the letter F. Interestingly, there are two studio albums beginning with the letter F, and each of these has a track beginning with F, although the second is actually a suite, in six parts. The first album is, of course, Fragile, which for me marked the beginning of a new phase for the band. There's no denying that the Yes album was extremely important, both in the history of Yes and in the history of prog rock music, as it marked the arrival of Steve Howe and the first full-blown, long-form compositions. This was arguably the birth of the classic period of the band, but I think the inclusion of Rick Wakeman on Fragile did just as much, if not more, to fix the direction the music was to take from that point on, although I don't think that Fragile is the perfect Yes album. The main compositions are certainly brilliant, when you consider that this album contains Roundabout, Long Distance Runaround, Heart of the Sunrise and South Side of the Sky. It's impossible to overstate its importance in the band's catalogue, but the rest of the tracks are at best uneven. I think it was a great idea to include personal projects by the band members, and I love We Have Heaven, 5% for Nothing, and The Fish. Incidentally, that's the track beginning with F. Mood for a Day is quintessential Steve Howe and an immortal classic. Cans and Brahms sticks out as slightly unconvincing when you listen really carefully, but it's not even this track on its own which causes me misgivings about the album as a creative entity. What worries me is the way in which the album flows. The solid four full-band tracks could be bookends, as I described in the original episode, one at each end of the side. But South Side of the Sky is the penultimate track on side one, with 5% for Nothing closing the running order. Also, it's not really possible to create a running order which will manage to force the fragmentary solo ideas into some semblance of coherence. They are just too disparate. It would be like the proverbial attempt to herd cats. Let me know if you disagree, of course, and please don't misunderstand me. There's no musical experience better for me than listening to the whole of Fragile at one sitting. But when you compare it to Close to the Edge, or even the Yes album, Fragile just doesn't hang together as well. So what about that F track on Fragile, The Fish? Here's how it's described on the sleeve notes. In Chris Squire's The Fish, each riff, rhythm and melody is produced by using the different sounds of the bass guitar. Well, unless I'm very much mistaken, there are various percussion instruments in there as well as vocals. Not even the maestro Squire could get a bass guitar to sound like that. However, it's not productive to criticise sleeve notes. Here's how I summed up The Fish way back in episode 4. The end of the previous track, Long Distance Runaround, segues straight into Squire's solo effort, The Fish, via a short, dreamy Howe section introducing the theme, which is then taken over by Squire. This seems to me to be a much more full-blown working through of the material than some of the other solo pieces. It includes experimentation and improvisation, and is the most successful of the individual works for me. When I close my eyes, it's clear this is a rhythmical masterpiece. Anderson adds dreamlike vocals based on the theme towards the end, and overall it makes a really effective end to Long Distance Runaround. The other album, beginning with F, is of course the most recent, Fly From Here, which contains the full-blown suite. This album saw the return to Yes recording duties not only of Jeff Downes for the first time since Drama in 1980, but also of Trevor Horn, who comes back to produce again, rather than filling the John Anderson role as he did for Drama. The fact that a lot of the material on the album also originates from that early 80s period is seen by some fans as a serious problem, but when you consider that White, Horn, Downes and Howe actually played the title track live back in the Drama days, it seems a bit of an unnecessary criticism. Here, the original musicians finally get round to recording in the studio a piece they wrote and played over 30 years previously. If they aren't fully entitled to do this, then who is? Added to this is the dramatic, no pun intended, reworking of the material into the closest thing to a progressive rock epic that we've seen for many years. I, for one, was delighted to see this album, especially since the practically lost Yes music was reinstated here. There are moments on the record which don't work as well as they might, but it's fantastic to see the band are still able to produce engaging, multi-layered and complex music. It also stands as testament to the quality of Benoit David's relatively brief tenure as lead singer. Whatever you thought of his live performances, his legacy on Fly From Here will always be a good one. I have no hesitation in praising his vocal performance on this record. The Fly From Here suite itself is a masterpiece, which manages to rearrange, develop and extend the 80s material into several movements of remarkably coherent and enjoyable music. It's no mean feat to take a song and sustain it for that long. As I've argued several times in the podcast, it's a true hallmark of progressive rock that ideas are given the time and space to breathe, to be fully explored and elaborated. And I think this is exactly what we have with the Fly From Here suite. It would be really easy for the music to sound forced, contrived, stretched beyond its natural limits, but perhaps because of Trevor Horn's involvement, or perhaps because of the indefinable chemistry of all the musicians, this certainly doesn't happen for me. If another album of the same quality could be produced in 2013, I'd be there on release day with my crumpled paper money, gladly handing it over. Are you listening, Steve Howe? So, from the album's beginning with F to a vaguely chronological rundown of individual tracks. F is for Future Times. How enjoyable for me to be able to speak again about my favourite Yes album, and in my opinion the most underrated work of the band. From the opening moments, this track is imbued with the essence of prog. It's a rhythmical and harmonic oddity, especially when Squire's bass part comes in and White's driving but seemingly incongruous beat appears. In fact, the 54-second introduction encapsulates a lot of the Yes aesthetic for me, and when Anderson starts the vocal line, there is no other band in the history of the world who could have created this maelstrom-like texture overlaid with sweet melody. The lyrics are suitably astral and unintelligible, and the suspension of beat a great supplier of contrast. Howe and Wakeman are particularly complementary in their intertwining lines, and Squire wields his wah pedal with the usual carefree abandon. Howe continues to provide an amazing line, sometimes in unison with Anderson, sometimes as a counter-melody, sometimes as part of the harmony. Just take a listen to that counting section, and you'll see what I mean. It's one of the most accomplished pieces of whole group composition and playing in all the Yes canon. The parts are never in competition, they always combine in ever more fascinating ways to produce the desired effects. I don't really know where the rejoice section starts, and I don't really care. It's an immersive trip for me which transports me instantly to my teenage years, and I will always love this music. Do go back and re-evaluate this track, if you possibly can. Anyway, you've probably had enough of me extolling the virtues of Tomato, so we will continue with some more tracks, which start with F. Next, we have to go all the way forward to Footprints, which is on Keys to Ascension 2. It was great to hear the full Yes choir at the beginning of this track in proper, tight harmony once again. White seems to have been given free rein with the drum parts as well. The individual sounds are split around the stereo in a very pleasing fashion, and the underlying rhythm is very interesting. It combines brilliantly with Squire's unusual bass part, and the resulting texture is pure Yes, with Wakeman and Howe's undulating lines. There is definitely a fresh, eager feeling, though, in the music, which I think was only possible after the preceding troubles and developments. The theme of the lyrics looks back to the positivity of earlier Anderson pieces, and there's a jaunty, fun feel. Different sections highlight the talents of the different musicians. For example, around 2 minutes, there is a great Squire bass sequence. Howe duets with himself around 3 minutes, and then Wakeman solos briefly in fantastic pure 70s mode. It's great Yes music, and such a shame that it's often overlooked, because it's hidden away on disc 2 of Keys to Ascension 2. Unless, of course, you have the Key Studio album, which I'm not convinced many people do. Even though the piece has as many different sections, textures and moods as you could possibly desire, it feels very much like a single entity. At over 9 minutes in length, this is another of Yes's remarkable musical achievements. Footprints flies by in a flash, because it's so carefully constructed by musicians arguably at the peak of their creative and collaborative powers. The next F is from a very different album and a very different version of the band. It's Fortune Seller from Open Your Eyes. Taken in isolation from the rest of the album, I enjoy listening to this track. It starts with a great Chris Squire bass line, which I have to admit, I've not noticed before. The initial vocal harmonies sound a bit harsh, but there's a catchy fun groove which establishes itself soon after this. In fact, I'm discovering lots of little touches and playful elements I had previously missed, probably due to the fact that a lot of the tracks on the full-blown album are a bit too similar for me. The different sections blend and flow into each other very attractively. There's a great feel to these segues. So I'm pleasantly surprised. Maybe I should always listen to single tracks of Open Your Eyes to appreciate fully the quality of the music. I used to have a pretty low opinion of Fortune Seller, but that seems to have been coloured by its context in the album. Looking back at my comments in the Open Your Eyes episode, way back at number 18, I did see some merit in the song, but I had clearly forgotten its good points between then and now, and maybe that's a lesson for me in my exploration of Yes music. It's easy to tar a track with the same brush as the album on which it sits. F is also for Face to Face from The Ladder, so this is another song to feature both Billy Sherwood and Igor Khoroshev in their comparatively brief tenure with the band. This is a great track with a huge sense of excitement and energy to it. Khoroshev's phasing and very Wakeman-esque keyboard lines are a treat, and Chris Squire's bass line weaves in between White's solid, unrelenting, almost disco rhythm to create a marvellous texture. In traditional style, we're given an Anderson soaring vocal line with smooth shapes to provide contrast in the texture with the instruments. Howe's solo is spiky and the very catchy chorus is embedded with enough prog rock elements to make this a serious Yes track. It's another track which stands on its own really well, a contender for playing to the uninitiated, as it combines pop rock elements, big catchy hooks, brilliant playing and plenty of essential Yes elements. Strangely enough, the last track beginning with F I can find is also on The Ladder, and it's another blast of high energy. It's called Finally. After a brief twiddly Howe and White introduction, Anderson hits us with the chorus. It has a bit of an 80s vibe in instrumentation and approach. The Squire bass line is quite reminiscent of parts of 90125, and the overall effect is closer to stadium rock than And You and I. This doesn't make it a bad song in itself, but I do think it works better when heard in context of the tracks around it on the album. It's sandwiched between To Be Alive and The Messenger. I like the flow of the album, and the way in which Finally fits into it. On its own, it sounds a bit brash. Howe's addition of sitar-sounding lines works well, and the vocals are really intense and full of insistent exhortations. Is that a Howe solo or a Sherwood solo at about 2 minutes? It certainly owes more to the Rabin school of rock than what we expect from Howe. It screams and wails in true Axe Hero style. Contrasts in the instrumentation and arrangement are welcome when the sound is stripped down and then builds up again, and there's a calm, contemplative section with acoustic guitar and keyboards supporting a subtle reworking of the main material by Anderson. Howe brings things to a close with a lovely electric solo, and it's an unusual form for a Yes song, stadium rock developing into progressive moods and soundscape. Unusual, but very effective. As so often, Yes have the ability to surprise with this song. It could very easily have been left as a satisfactory rocker, but they converted it into something with much more depth and made it ultimately so much more satisfying. The Ladder is perhaps a bit of an underappreciated album, and I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it hasn't received the attention it deserves because the songs have been rarely played live. When Khoroshev left, the surviving and new members of the band seem to have abandoned the contents of the album. If you have also left your copy sitting on the shelf, why not dust it off and give it a whirl? There's a great deal of fantastic music there to be rediscovered. I'm sure there must be other Yes concepts and traits which begin with F. Please do let me know if you can think of any by leaving a comment on the show notes for episode 61. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Please remember that if you're listening to this episode in 2012 and you'd like to show your support for the show, vote in the European Podcasts Award by visiting bit.ly/voteYMP, all one word. Also, if you'd like to claim a YMP listener open badge, then please send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com or fill in the contact form on the website. Finally, if you're going on the cruise to the edge next year, I'd still love to hear from you, and there's a possibility of being involved in something really very exciting. Please do get in touch. I'll be back next week, but in the meantime, please get involved by subscribing to the podcast via RSS, iTunes, Stitcher.com or the new Apple Podcasts app at yesmusicpodcast.com. You can also find the podcast on the BlackBerry Podcasts catalogue, if you have one of those. You can leave a comment on the blog. You can send a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter. You can send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload an audio file or record a voice message via the buttons on the site. Or finally, you can leave a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.